This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wensky. Thank you for joining me. We begin with notices from the town of Auburn. There will be the next select board meeting will be held on Monday, June 22nd, and there'll be another select board meeting for the town of Auburn on Monday, June 29th. In the meantime, we have some notices. We begin with road work notice. South Street, this is from the town of Auburn, will be closed between Route 20 and Central Street. This road closure is expected to remain in effect from June 15th to June 19th. What to expect? Complete closure of the street. Buses and emergency vehicles will have access. Expect delays and detours on your commute through these areas. We appreciate everyone's patience and ask residents to plan accordingly. Upcoming meetings and events this week will include on Wednesday, June 17th, Central Mass Regional Dispatch will meet at 9 a.m. at Camp Gleason. Future meetings and events include Zoning Board of Appeals on June 18th at 6 p.m. in the Select Board Room. The following notice from the Town of Auburn's Facebook page posted on Friday, June 12th, heat education and alert tools known as HEAT. A heat wave is expected in Massachusetts over the next 7 days. World Cup 2026 soccer events are expected to bring large crowds to Boston and across Massachusetts. Please share this information to promote prevention efforts and support patients and communities at higher risk for heat-related illness. Hot weather can be dangerous and even life-threatening. Anyone can be affected, but older adults, young children, pregnant people, outdoor workers, and people with chronic health conditions are at greater risk. People may be exposed to heat while traveling to events, attending pre-game activities, or spending time in direct sun or crowded outdoor spaces. Encourage people to drink water, limit alcohol, avoid heavy activity in the heat, take breaks in the shade or air conditioning, keep food cold, and throw it out if it was left in the heat for too long. Check on people at higher risk and share the resources below to help communities stay safe. Encourage people working outdoors as part of the event to drink cool water every 15 to 20 minutes, 5 to 7 ounces suggested. Wear a hat, light-colored, loose-fitting, and breathable clothing, and for SPF or 30 or higher, please use sunscreen. Take rest breaks in cool, shaded areas. Work with their employer before it gets hot about how to recognize heat illness and what to do in an emergency. Next notice from the town of Auburn, posted on Friday, June 12th. Watch for heat stress and dehydration. Dogs can overheat quickly, especially short-nosed breeds, senior pets, puppies, overweight animals, and dogs with medical conditions. Always provide fresh water and shade when they're outdoors. Limit any strenuous exercise during the hottest parts of the day, and walk dogs during early morning or evening hours. Protect their paws from hot surfaces. Pavement, asphalt, sand, and concrete can become extremely hot in the summer temperatures and may burn paw pads. Practice leash safety. Keep dogs leashed unless they are in a designated safe area. Fireworks safety. Fireworks seasons often results in an increase in lost pets. Loud noises can frighten and cause them to escape yards, slip collars, or run from owners. Keep pet indoors during fireworks displays. Ensure collars fit properly. Verify identification tags are current and confirm microchip information is up to date. Be aware of toxic plants and landscaping. Supervise pets around gardens and landscaping areas and research pet safe plant options. The following announcement is from the Auburn Chamber of Commerce Facebook page dated Friday, June 12th. The Auburn Chamber awarded $17,500 in scholarships to graduating seniors. The scholarships are made possible through our annual school business partnership annual golf tournament. A special thanks to our 2025 golf tournament presenting sponsor, Seaman Engineering. Join us in congratulating the 2026 recipients, including Emily Giugliato Academic Scholarship. Emily will be at Assumption University come the fall and studying psychology, focusing on preclinical counseling. Her proudest achievement was getting into a good school and maintaining the grades to get her there. She used to think she was not smart, but has come to realize that she has learned so much and she is proud of where she came from and who she is today. In 10 years, she hopes to have her master's degree in psychology and be a marriage counselor. But it's not all about work. She hopes to be married, settle down, and either have or be planning to have children soon. She wants to have great friends, be a mom, and most importantly, she wants to be happy in whatever she is doing. The following announcement is from the Auburn Youth and Family Services, posted Thursday, June 11th. Mark your calendars for the Auburn Youth and Family Services Meat Raffle, which will take place on June 18th, that is a Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Yongxing restaurant, just in time for Father's Day. Plus, there'll be a 50-50 raffle, lottery tree, and raffle baskets. Grab some friends for a fun night while supporting the Auburn Youth and Family Services once again on Thursday, June 18th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Yongxing restaurant. The following announcements are from the Auburn Senior Center. We begin with the next program will be on Tuesday, June 16th. That'll be tomorrow. Grief and Loss Support Group. Please join us as we all navigate together this new normal through compassion, caring, and connections. We will learn about the five stages of grief and look at ways we can use coping skills and outside support to guide us through the process. This is a monthly support group. We hope that you will join us. Like refreshments will be served. The program will be facilitated by Melinda Varon of the Salmon Home Healthcare. And you may RSVP by calling 508-832-7799. And then the next program, also on Tuesday, June 16th, at the Auburn Senior Center, starting at 1 p.m., estate planning, probate, and Medicaid planning. Attorney Nick DeVau will be discussing estate planning, probate, and Medicaid in this one-hour free seminar. A well-crafted estate plan ensures that your financial and medical wishes are carried out should you pass away or become incapacitated. It can also protect your assets and help you avoid probate. This generally includes a basic estate plan consisting of a last will and testament, Durable Power of Attorney, and Healthcare Proxy. Some estate plans consist of trusts for various reasons as well. Attorney Daviau will discuss how these estate planning documents work together, how the probate process works, and strategies people use to try and protect assets in the event of long-term care. Once again, estate planning, probate, and Medicaid planning on Tuesday, June 16th at the Auburn Senior Center, starting at 1 p.m. Contact the Auburn Senior Center for any questions and to register at 508-832-7799. And then on Tuesday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m., Artificial Intelligence, AI for Seniors. AI for Seniors, what it is, how to use it, will be taught by Scott Bader. Artificial Intelligence, AI, is quickly becoming a part of everyday life, from helping you write emails and find information online to organizing photos, answering questions, and even assisting with daily tasks. This class is designed especially for seniors who are curious about this technology and want to learn how it can make life easier, more convenient, and even a little more fun. Scott will break down AI in simple, easy-to-understand terms, no technical background required. Participants will learn what AI is, how it works in practical ways, and how to safely and confidently use tools like chat assistants and smart apps. There will be plenty of opportunities to ask questions, see real-life examples, and even try it out yourself. Whether you're brand new to technology or just looking to stay current in an ever-changing digital world, the class is a great opportunity to learn something new in a relaxed and supportive environment. Come discover how AI can be a helpful tool in your everyday life. Once again, this program will be held on Tuesday, June 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. Call to register at 508-832-7799. Finally, lunch is served at the Auburn Senior Center on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's served at noon, while on Thursday, it will be served at 11:45. Notice that this Friday, the Senior Center, the Auburn Senior Center, will be closed for June 19th, or Juneteenth, as it's called, the holiday. However, in the meantime, the following is the menu for the lunches beginning on Wednesday, June 17th. Lasagna and meatballs, peas and carrots. And then on Thursday, June 18th, it'll be the Father's Day meal, chicken with broccoli and cheese, gravy, cranberry stuffing, Brussels sprouts. And then, as I said, Friday, June 19th, or what the holiday is called, Juneteenth, there'll be no meals served because the Senior Center, the Auburn Senior Center, will be closed. On Monday, June 22nd, the menu will include garlic brown sugar chicken, mashed potatoes, honey glazed carrots, and then on Tuesday, June 23rd, ziti with meatballs and meat sauce, that is, California blend and California vegetables. To register for these meals, the Auburn Senior Center would like you to call the center 2 days in advance of the meal. And that number is 508-832-7799. A $3 donation is suggested. The next announcement from the Auburn Senior Center, Transportation Services. The Auburn Senior Center and the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, WRTA, offer shared ride transportation for Auburn residents 60 or older, individuals with disabilities all ages. LAN provides home pickup and may make additional stops for other riders. To set up an account or schedule a ride, call the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, the WRTA, at 508-752-9283. And our next announcement from the Auburn Senior Center, SHINE, serving the health insurance needs of everyone. call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799 to schedule an appointment with Patrick Morris, who is the certified SHINE counselor. The following announcement is from the Auburn Historical Society's Facebook page, posted on June 9th, Summer Evenings at the Museum. The Auburn Historical Society Museum will be offering evening hours at the museum at 41 South Street in June, July, and August free of charge. Tours will be offered as well as help with research dealing with the town of Auburn and genealogy. And for the kids, there's Delia's picture scavenger hunt to do. There will be time to do more in-depth exploration of specific exhibits like the Native American collection, the Civil War artifacts of Joel Prouty, just to name a few. If you have been wanting to see what it is in the museum but can't make the Tuesday or Saturday regular hours, now is your chance to visit Wednesday, June 17th, Thursday, July 17th, and Thursday, August 20th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Come and enjoy the exhibits, meet the volunteers who help keep the museum open year-round, and more. This article is made possible by the Auburn Historical Society and Museum, 41 South Street. The museum is open Tuesdays and Saturday mornings from 9:30 to 12:30 p.m. and may be reached by calling 508-832-6856. The following article is from the Auburn News, June 12, 2026 edition. Auburn's National Spiraling Bee Champion. This by Helen Poirier of the Auburn Historical Society. Recently, the 2026 National Spelling Bee, which started in 1925, was determined in a dramatic way with a spell-off that was introduced in 2021. The two remaining contestants had 90 seconds to spell correctly as many words as they could. The one with the most correct word spelled won. The winner received $52,000, a medal, and other prizes. Auburn had their national champion speller in 1939, 12-year-old Elizabeth Ann Rice. Elizabeth's family originally came from Maine. Her grandfather was a boat builder in the 1870 census, one being Ernest Rice Sr., who was living in Leicester according to the 1900 census and was a farmer. By 1910, he was a wagon driver for a hat factory and living in Grafton. His son, Ernest Pennegill Rice Jr., was born in 1900 and married Jane Durgan in 1924. Elizabeth was born on October 2, 1924, in Utica, New York. The family moved to Byland Avenue in Auburn in the 1930s. In an interview after her win in 1939, Elizabeth states that she got interested in spelling bees in the seventh grade and entered the Central Massachusetts Spelling Championship along with her class that was sponsored by the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. She won her school contest but was fourth in the finals in Worcester. This was after she was in an accident riding her bicycle and hit a trolley car a few days before the contest. She came out of it with a bruised face, missing tooth, and her arm in a plaster cast. She was given a special cup award for courage. The following year, after winning the school spelling bee, she prepared for the Central Mass competition by going through the dictionary with her father and teacher, spelling all of the words. Winning that competition allowed her to go to Washington, D.C. There were 21 students from all over the country. Elizabeth won on the word homogeneity, H-O-M-O-G-E-N-E-I-T-Y. She was royally treated with a tour of the city, a trip to Annapolis with a parade, with the midshipmen in parade attire. She had lunch with Congressman Melves and Senior Senator Walsh and Lodge. She saw Mount Vernon, the White House, Capitol Building, and Arlington. She returned by train to Worcester with her trophy, prizes, and $500, and was greeted by a band and parade. She was taken in an open car through crowds in Worcester and Auburn to the high school athletic field, where she was interviewed in front of a gathering, students, parents, and dignitaries. Elizabeth went on to have a very full life. According to her obituary, she worked 25 years as the office manager of the Eli Sandman Company of Worcester from 1959 to 1984. She then became the business manager of the Worcester Children's Friend Society from 1984 to 1996. In 1979, she became a runner and completed 6 marathons. 3 of them were in Boston. She did fundraise walks for March of Dimes, Avon Breast Cancer Foundation, Multiple Sclerosis, and the Jimmy Fund organizations. Elizabeth volunteered for WISE, VNA Care Network, and Hospice. When she died at the age of 85 on April 18, 2012, she had been married to James Reza for 54 years. She had 3 sons, 3 daughters, 19 grandchildren, and 13 great-grandchildren. This article is made possible by the Auburn Historical Society Museum, 41 South Street in Auburn. The museum is open Tuesdays and Saturday mornings from 9:30 to 12:30 and may be reached by calling 508-832-6856. Our next article from the June 12, 2026 edition of the Auburn News: Auburn businessman surpasses $1 million donated to Make-A-Wish. Auburn businessman and Grafton resident Bill Murphy recently surpassed over $1 million in lifetime giving to Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island. His significant support has helped to grant the wishes of more than 100 local children with critical illnesses. During a special ceremony at the charity's Boston office, Murphy was honored as the newest Wish Legacy member of the Wishing Well Society, made up of major donors to the nonprofit. For 2 decades, Murphy has tirelessly worked in support of Make-A-Wish, raising funds and awareness through creative, visible, and physically grueling means, spanning traditional to unique. Murphy is also the 2025 recipient of the inaugural Wish Champion Award in recognition of his outstanding support of the mission in central Massachusetts. Already somewhat familiar with Make-A-Wish, as his cousin was a Wish recipient, and having watched Make-A-Wish stories on ESPN's My Wish series, Murphy was inspired 20 years ago to learn more after seeing the joy of Wish Kids at Walt Disney World Resort. From completing a marathon on crutches while raising funds for Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island, to serving on the charity's board of directors and as a founding member and chair of its Central Massachusetts Advisory Council, his commitment over the years has only grown. In addition to his personal efforts, Murphy also supports the organization through his company, Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, for which he is the local branch manager in Auburn. The milestone isn't mine. It belongs to everyone who believed in this mission and showed up. Through my Fairway family, my clients, my family, friends, and my business partners, we have collectively crossed over $1 million in donations to Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island. I could never have imagined when this journey started, what it would become or what it would mean, reflects Murphy. In 2024, Murphy's Running the World for Wishes campaign brought his support to truly unbelievable levels. Murphy ran 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days in the Great World Race. As if that weren't impressive enough, Murphy raised nearly $300,000 for the organization through that effort, funding the wishes of 24 children. Over his years of giving, the mission has been very personal to Murphy. He has involved his own children in his fundraising efforts, and he has formed bonds with many of the wish recipients whose wishes he has helped grant. That includes Julio Varela from Grafton, whose wish for tuition assistance for his freshman year at UMass Amherst was granted in 2023. Varela was on hand last fall to surprise Murphy as guest presenter of the Wish Champion Award to Murphy at the Wish Night in the Woo fundraiser hosted in Worcester by Make-A-Wish Massachusetts in Rhode Island. It also includes Bethany Park of Rochdale, who traveled to Walt Disney World in 2017 for her wish. Park first met Murphy when, due to an injury, he crutched 26.2 miles on the track at Worcester State University to fulfill his commitment as a member of Team Make-A-Wish for the Boston Marathon. In 2024, Park ran the final mile of the Great World Race with Murphy and was inspired to begin training as a runner. Murphy helped Park trained to run the Falmouth Road Race for a Team Make-A-Wish. Bill's phenomenal support of our Wish children reflects his relentless belief in hope and possibility, which are both also central to the Make-A-Wish mission, said Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island CEO Sean Holleran. We are incredibly grateful to him for his unparalleled generosity, which sets an inspiring example for our community of supporters. Murphy, a mortgage industry professional and best-selling author of Thriving in Storm, 9 Principles to Help Overcome Any Adversity, is always looking for the next challenge and his next way to give back. He sees no limits to his support or Make-A-Wish, and is determined to keep that total growing to advance the charity's vision to grant the wish of every eligible local child. Make-A-Wish doesn't just grant wishes, it gives families something to hold on to during the hardest seasons of their lives. That ripple effect is real, and I felt it in ways I never anticipated. But the work isn't done, asserts Murphy. $1 million is a chapter, not the ending. There are more kids, more families, more wishes waiting to be real. And there is so much more awareness to raise about this organization's actually does and the profound impact it creates. If you've already been part of this journey, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, if you've been on the sidelines and wondered how to get involved, now is the time. The way I see it, the next million starts today. To learn more about Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island and opportunities to get involved in supporting the mission as the charity works to fulfill 130 wishes for local children this summer, log on to the Make-A-Wish Foundation's Rhode Island and Massachusetts website. The following news and information announcements are for the town of Grafton. We begin with an article from the Community Advocate dated June 11th. This Grafton intersection to see $500,000 in improvements. A Grafton intersection will see major improvements. The intersection of Pine Street and Route 30 will be redone for $481,000. According to Town Administrator Evan Broussard, Grafton will do the procurement for the project, but UPS will foot the bill. the improvement is tied to the 2024 approval of an 845,500-square-foot UPS warehouse located between Shrewsbury and Grafton on Centec Boulevard, which turns into Pine Street when it reaches Grafton. The warehouse will be a new regional distribution hub for UPS and may handle upwards of 50,000 packages per hour. The existing UPS facility in Shrewsbury will remain open. Based on trips at UPS facilities in Indiana and Utah, the project is expected to generate about 5,000 total trips per 24-hour period. 3,600 of those trips would be from employees, 500 would be from a single unit trucks, and 900 would be trips made by articulated trucks. The following related posting is from the town of Grafton. The UPS facility off of Centec Boulevard and Centennial Drive conducted a helicopter lift on Saturday, June 13th from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. This operation, a helicopter was used to lift in place four rooftop units onto the roof of the new UPS facility. This activity involved low-altitude helicopter operations and resulted in temporary traffic interruptions and elevated noise levels in the surrounding area during the lift window. All necessary safety measures and coordination efforts were made or implemented to ensure that this operation is completely safe and efficiently completed. Our next article from the June 12th edition of the Community Advocate, Grafton High School graduates class of 2026. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. Grafton, in his 2014 track, Love Yours, American rapper J. Cole famously said that there's no such thing as life that's better than yours. At graduation, Grafton High School senior class president Delicia Muir reiterated those comments. Your struggles do not shape who you are. You're bigger than your past, and you are more than what you have come from, Muir said. Do not ever believe that because things are difficult that it makes you any less than others. Everyone is living their own full-blown story with struggles seen and unseen. There is nobody truly above or below one another. On June 5th, at the Hanover Theater in Worcester, Grafton High School graduated its class of 2026. Donning mortarboard caps, hundreds of graduates walked across the stage to receive their diplomas, the culmination of years of hard work. We all walked a different path to get here today, but our steps led us to the same place, Muir told her fellow graduates. The last few years were not easy, but we persevered with strength and grace. Though the diplomas belonged to the graduates, the night also belonged to the family members who, over the course of 4 years, provided support, advice, and encouragement. In a way, it was their graduation too, Grafton High School principal Tracy Callow said in her remarks. To the parents, guardians, and families, thank you for trusting us with a piece of your hearts. Your support over these past 4 years has guided your graduate to this moment. Tonight is not only a celebration of their accomplishments, but also a tribute to your love, sacrifice, and devotion, Kalo said. Before offering any advice, Muir was sure to recognize her biggest cheerleader, her mom. There is one more crucial thank you I must give. It is the woman who gave me my name, my face, my drive, and my encouragement. My mother came to America at 16, and at 17 she was working to provide for herself and my eldest brother while still in school. I stand here today in front of you because of her, the woman who made me who I am, she said. Muir added, as a daughter of an immigrant and a first-generation American-born child, being here today means more to me than you'll ever know. For me, today is more than a ceremony of receiving a diploma. It is a barrier broken and the start of a new chapter for my family and I. Next article from the Community News, June 12th, 2026 edition. Two Grafton High seniors are heading into the U.S. Marines. These two recent high school graduates are giving back. Nicholas Bale and Sean Benoit will head to Parris Island, South Carolina, later this month to start a career in the U.S. Marine Corps. Then they'll head to North Carolina for further training before eventually splitting up to focus on different specialties. Bale, who lived in Texas, Arizona, and Florida, and Iowa growing up, landed in Massachusetts approximately 8 years ago. He quickly made an impact in Grafton, captaining the football team last fall. He said athletics are a huge part of his life. That team atmosphere is something he'll be seeking as he serves his country. I really value brotherhood and friendship, working together as a team. Joining the Marines, I can push myself for 4 years physically, mentally, earn a career out of it, learn some skills, and get a lot of benefit out of it, he told the Community Advocate. Benoit has always liked helping people. He's been an on-call firefighter with the Grafton Fire Department for the last year. He'll continue down that path while part of the Marines training in the Aircraft Rescue Firefighting Program. I never thought college was a good route for me. I wanted to do something that would benefit me in my future. I thought the Marines was a great option. I can get a career right out of high school. I can travel, get a place to live, and most importantly, I can serve people, said Benoit. Bale and Benoit said they are excited for what's ahead. College isn't for everyone. The Marines aren't for everybody, said Bale. The Lord has a plan for each of us. It took me a long time for me to find out what he had in store for me. A lot of prayer, a lot of searching. Added Benoit, do what you think is best for you. College is great for many people, but I don't think it would be the right option for me. I think people should go for what will truly benefit them in the long run, and that might not necessarily be college. Our next article from the Community Advocates, June 12, 2026 edition. Grafton's worst road to get $5.9 million refresh. Grafton residents, it's finally here. After a select board vote on May 26, George Hill Road is expected to get a significant repairs totaling $5.9 million. Contract has been awarded to J.H. Lynch and Sons, Inc., and construction is set to get underway this summer with the first pre-construction meeting scheduled for June. Much anticipated, everyone is looking forward to this update, said Select Board Chair Andy Jefferson. This is super exciting, and I'm not even someone who lives near there and has had to deal with this road decades. Excited to see this get underway. George Hill Road is a 2-mile scenic street that winds between Route 140 and Merriam Road. The road is in exceptionally poor condition with potholes, cracks, and limited drainage. New stormwater drainage would be constructed. The new roadway will be 20 feet wide, an improvement over existing conditions. Work will also include areas of Soap Hill Road and Fay Mountain Road. Some trees may be removed, but we don't want to lose the rural character, Town Administrator Evan Broussard said in 2023. Repairs were expected to cost $7 million initially, but the project under budget. The funds were approved in 2023 at town meeting and buyer town referendum. Article from the Community Advocate, Art Bradish Snack Bar set to open for an incredible 89th season. In the off-season, the fall, winter, and early spring, Dick and Sandy Bradish spend their time on Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, and vacationing to Costa Rica. It's some much-needed relaxation for the husband and wife duo, because in summer, they're going absolutely nonstop. Dick and Sandy are the owners of Art Bradish Snack Bar, a Grafton institution that has been operating since 1937. The roadside takeout spot will open for its 89th year on May 23rd, continuing the legacy of good people making good food. "It's just what we do. There's no other way to say it," Dick said. Founded by Art Bradish, Dick's grandfather, nearly a century ago, the stand, known as Bradish's to locals, was originally located across the street from its current 39 Shrewsbury Street or Route 140 spot. The stand sold soda, 15-cent hot dogs, candy, hamburgers, and French fries, all the lunch essentials. Eventually, Art's son Albert took the reins, and around the time of World War II, Bradish's moved its current location, a small wooden shack with large windows, a shaded canopy, and plenty of picnic tables nearby. It's that outdoor area that has allowed Bradish's to have such success. "Generations have been coming here," Dick told his community advocate. "They like sitting outside in the good weather. Give them a fair price, the best quality. We're always trying to do the best we can for them." That approach has kept people coming for generations, with the building and business having remained virtually unchanged over the decades. Grafton and Central Massachusetts residents of many ages feel at home when dining at Bradish's. Over the course of the summers, Dick and Sandy have been seeing people come to the stand as children grow up and eventually bring their own children and grandchildren. "It's great to know they're coming back year after year," said Sandy. "It's a well-oiled machine. About 10 part-time workers keep things running smoothly. Sandy handles most of the accounting and bookkeeping, while Dick can often be found slicing onions or helping out in the kitchen. The period from Memorial Day to Labor Day is always a sprint, but always worth it." What does our Bradish's serve? The first thing most people will mention are the onion rings. Cut thin and fried to a perfection, the onion rings can be accompanied by a host of lunchtime staples: burgers, fries, footlong hot dogs, chili, chicken, and plenty more. Fish is served on Fridays. Bradish's is optimal for a lunch break or a night with the family. The onion rings, we peel them ourselves. We slice them ourselves. They are made fresh, said Sandy. The hamburgers come in fresh. A lot of people think they're frozen, but they're not. We use the best quality hamburger. Running Bradish's isn't without the occasional frustrations, however. The only thing that annoys us is when someone comes up and asks how long the foot-long hot dog is, said Sandy. Some other places sell foot-long hot dogs that are just 9 inches. Not here. Ours are 12 inches. Following program and activities are for the Grafton Senior Center for the month of June. Cabaret Lunch, come celebrate the music of Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. 11:45, Meals on Wheels, lunch for $3 with show following. Special desserts will be served Thursday, June 25th, 11:45 a.m., a cabaret lunch. To sign up, call 508-839-9242. Another program of interest at the Grafton Senior Center, Breakfast with the Badge. Join Sergeant Spellman of the Grafton Police Department for an engaging discussion on important topics, current initiatives, and community collaboration. Don't miss this opportunity to connect, ask questions, and hear valuable insights firsthand. This will be held, Breakfast with a Badge, on Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. Please call the Senior Center to RSVP your attendance. Number at the Senior Center, 508-839-9242. Next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center. Join us on Wednesday, June 17th at 12:30 p.m. for bingo time. Cards are just $1 to $4 per game, and it's first come, first serve. So grab a seat and get ready to shout bingo. Next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center, congregate lunch meals through Elder Nutrition. The congregate meals will be served to you at your table at 11:45 a.m. Congregate meals must be eaten at your table inside the Grafton Senior Center and are not to be taken outside. You must make reservations by noon at least 2 days in advance of the meal by calling 508-839-9242. Don't miss out on your favorite lunch meal. Call and make a reservation. The following news, information, and announcements are for the towns of Sutton and Millbury. We begin with articles from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, June 12th, 2026 edition. Mark your calendars. Sutton's grand and likely the grandest 4th of July parade is scheduled for Saturday, June 27th. The event will include parade from Common to the schools starting at 10 a.m. as the floats with historic themes form a living timeline up Boston Street. Live entertainment and family activities, as well as food trucks, will be at Sutton High School to while away the afternoon while waiting for the grand finale. Fireworks can be viewed at dusk from the Common. Stay tuned for more details in our June 25th edition of the Millbury Chronicle. Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle's June 12th edition, Millbury Select Board legislators honor officer shot in the line of duty. Local and state officials recently honored one of Millbury's own police officers who was shot in the line of duty in February. Sergeant Keith Gasco, a longtime Millbury resident and 12-year veteran of the Millbury Police Department, was honored at the May 26 Select Board meeting with citations from State Senator Michael Moore and State Representative Paul Frost, as well as praise from the town's Select Board for his courage during the events in February 2026. Gasco was on duty and working as part of Central Massachusetts Law Enforcement Council, known as CEMLEC, SWAT team at an active shooter scene in Spencer, Massachusetts, when he and other members of the team came to the aid of Spencer police. Gasco entered the dollar store on Route 9 in Spencer with the team pursuing a shooting suspect and was shot by that suspect. Gasco sustained injuries to the hip and arm and was hospitalized. Gasco was still recovering but was able to attend the May 26 Millbury Select Board meeting to be presented with praise from the Select Board and citations from Moore's office and from Frost. Sergeant Gasco's bravery, professionalism, and unwavering commitment to protecting others reflect the very highest standards, said Millbury Select Board Chair Mary Krumzik. We extend our deep gratitude, respect, continued prayers for his full recovery and for the strength of his family and fellow officers. Thank you for choosing to be a police officer, Frost said. Thank you for charging in and doing what you were tasked to do and protecting the general public and for taking on the added responsibility of not only being a police officer in Millbury, but for joining CEMLEC. A representative from Moore's office also presented a citation on Moore's behalf, lauded Gasco for his bravery and extended appreciation to Gasco, his family, and his law enforcement family. To the citations and speeches, Gasco had a brief response. Thank you. Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle's June 12, 2026 edition. Sutton approves sharing nursing services with Oxford. On June 2nd, the Select Board approved an intermunicipal agreement known as IMA with the town of Oxford to share public health nursing services. the town's services provided by registered nurse Cheryl Wawinski are already shared with Millbury, Charlton, and Webster. Cheryl is a wealth of knowledge and expertise, and I think has provided great service not only to the town of Sutton, but to other communities that we've been partnering with, Sutton Town Manager Austin Sagenowicz said. In addition to direct nursing services, Rowinski provides immunization services as well as representing the towns at the state's Region 2 Public Health and Preparedness meetings. Select Board member Jesse Lamonic applauded Rowinski's past performance as well, especially during COVID, when Rowinski gave many hours to towns that were not prepared for the pandemic. Rowinski said the sharing arrangement was becoming more common as there is a shortage of skilled, experienced nurses. Sutton bills the other towns in the agreement for the hours Rowinski works in those towns. Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle's June 12th edition, Sutton Select Board Reorganizes. The Sutton Select Board reorganized in its first meeting after this year's town election, where Christine Watkins retained her seat on the board and Daniel Spengler took the seat formerly held by Norman Champagny, who did not run for re-election. In the reorganization, the board elected Jonathan Anderson chair, James Etamarna, vice chair, and Christine Watkins, clerk. Our next article from the June 12, 2026 edition of the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, Sutton Historical Society events. On Wednesday, May 27th, the Sutton Historical Society hosted the Sutton Elementary School third graders at the Eight Lots Schoolhouse, 54 Eight Lots Road in Sutton. This one-room schoolhouse of its original foundation was built in 1773, when King George III was still in charge of the American colonies. The building, along with many others in Sutton, was witness to the Revolutionary War events which created our country. Society curator and retired Sutton High School teacher Joyce Smith shared not only the history of the building, but personal family stories about the school. Joyce was a fifth-generation teacher in Sutton, with several ancestors having ties to the Eight Lots Schoolhouse. The schoolhouse does not have regular operating hours, but members do provide tours upon request. On Saturday, June 27, 2026, join the Society as it celebrates America 250 as a participant in Sutton's parade, kicking off at 10 a.m. from the Sutton Town Common and ending at the Sutton Schools Complex. Parade, community celebration, events, and fireworks details can be found on thesuttonforth.org. The Society will be showcasing several witness houses along the parade route. Plan to arrive early, set up your viewing spot, and then meander down Boston Road to learn the history of these historic properties. Through the efforts of many volunteers, the Society is delighted to publish the first volume of biographies of Sutton's Revolutionary War soldiers. This volume includes research into and a brief life histories of the 46 men in Captain Andrew Elliott's company of Minutemen who marched on the alarm of April 19, 1775. The Sutton Historical Society is a 501c3 organization dedicated to preserving and sharing the history of Sutton. Membership information and a full calendar of events can be found at the Sutton 1704.org website. The Society is always seeking new members and volunteers. Consider joining today. The following announcements are from the Town of Millbury's Facebook page. Beginning with, on Thursday, June 18th, 2026, The Millbury Farmers Market will be held at the Asa Waters Mansion from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. There will be live music from Friends of Coop at 6 p.m. The Farmers Market at the mansion will take place on the first Thursday of each month from June to October, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Be sure to check out the social media pages to learn more about the participating vendors. Announcement from the Town of Millbury's Facebook page, dated June 11th. The Millbury Senior Center's participation in the Next Trex Community Recycling Challenge has officially ended. Through the efforts of the community over the last 2 years, the Senior Center was able to earn 5 new benches. Thank you to the program volunteers and to everyone who donated. You are awesome. Our next announcement from the Town of Millbury's Facebook page, dated June 10th. We are excited to announce that the Town of Millbury has been awarded $229,293 Community Compact Fiber Grant from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This grant will fund the construction of a new town-owned fiber optic network connecting our municipal buildings and schools. Next announcement from the Town of Millbury Facebook page, dated June 9th. All municipal offices, Millbury Senior Center, Millbury Public Library, and the transfer station will be closed on Friday, June 19th, 2026, in observance of Juneteenth. The following announcements are from the Millbury Senior Center's Facebook page, dated June 11th. It's hot one out there today. Remember to stay cool, stay hydrated, and take it easy during the hottest part of the day. If you are heading out, don't forget your water bottle and sunscreen. Need a break from the heat? The Millbury Senior Center has the air conditioning running, and it's nice and cool inside. Stop by, relax, visit with friends, and escape the summer heat for a while. The Millbury Senior Center is open Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and on Friday, 8 to noon. For more information about the Millbury Senior Center, call 508-865-9154. Senior Center, located at 19 Huff Road, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more details, call the Sutton Senior Center at 508-234-0703. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Arnie Wensky. Thank you for joining me, and have a great day.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero with your latest weather forecast for Monday, June 15th, 2026. Here's my latest updated forecast. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies, highs near 77 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 60 degrees. And the outlook for Tuesday is called for partly sunny skies with clouds in the afternoon. Highs near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. Low around 65 degrees. And the outlook for Wednesday is calling for mostly cloudy skies, humid with afternoon showers and thunderstorms likely. Highs Wednesday up around 80 degrees. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody, and please stay tuned for more programming coming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
When my dad started to lose his vision, we were worried. Sure, his doctor gave me and my mom some handouts, and I did my fair share of research. But we had no idea how much of a challenge vision loss would be or how it would impact his quality of life. That's why I was so glad we discovered Mass Commission for the Blind. They work with my dad, and they will work with you and your loved one as well to develop future plans and new skills and assistive technology. They even helped Dad get access to talking books and newspapers. He was so excited.
If your loved one is blind or visually impaired, find out if they are eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.